Romans, the sixth chapter. The book of Romans, chapter number six. We want to read just a few verses there. Romans 6, beginning right at verse number 1. And the title of the message is, What Does the Bible Say About Continuing in Sin? Let's start, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Chapters many times are broken up by those who write and put the Bible together and those commentators. Many chapters are broken up in thoughts. And if we're not careful, we won't get the thought, amen, that the apostle is really dealing with. The thought surrounding our text comes from Romans 5 and 20, backing up to the fifth chapter. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What is the apostle saying? The law entered, amen, not to make a man a sinner, but to show that he already was a sinner. And, amen, where sin abounded in the heart, grace from Jesus Christ much more abounded, or it actually means super abounded. Now that there's grace, Paul asked a question, should we continue? Seeing there is the grace of God, should we continue on committing sin? Then Paul says in verse 2, God forbid. Now we know that the grace of God wasn't given to continue in sin, but rather to continue to have victory over sin. It's not the blood, church, that gives you power over sin. With the blood is forgiveness of sin. It takes the grace of God to continue with victory over sin. There's power. We know that. There's power in the blood to remove every trace of sin, regardless what you've been involved in. Amen. Whether you want to label it little sin, a lot of sin, vile sin, however you want to label it, there's power in the blood. Amen. For forgiveness of every sin. Amen. But if you're going to continue with victory in your soul, it's going to take the grace of God. As I was sitting back here just thinking, I often do just meditate on what I'm going to preach and along certain lines. The reason why people struggle, and I thought so much on this, why do people struggle so much maintaining victory? Do you know what the answer is? They're lazy. They're lazy. It takes continual effort to have the grace of God active in your life. You're never going to come to the place where you can relax. Why? Because you never know what the devil's got laying out there for you. I was talking to Brother Jeff last night about the security team. See, we got a security team here. What's happened? Because nothing goes on, they lose interest. Well, hopefully we never need a security team. Hopefully. But it's where that they thought they didn't need it is where the gunner come in and did the shooting. And then I thought about the military. Today's Veterans Day. You know, the military always stays ready, whether it's peacetime or whether it's war. They're always ready. They keep you motivated. Amen. Then I thought about my grandson, Johnny, over here. See, he used to be over recruiting. Now, I'm sure he didn't go in there each day and say, all right, guys, take it easy now. We've got enough for the month. No, you constantly stay motivated, amen, and try to get more people into the military. And it's at a time when you're relaxed and at a low that you can rest assured the devil is planning something. Amen. Grace is administered to each one of us through the Holy Spirit. The life of sin ends when one receives salvation. We know that. Every sin is gone. Amen. You cannot be a righteous individual and a sinner at the same time. They do not mix. You're either or. Amen. Well, let's go on. Let's go on. As we go on in this particular chapter, we need to realize something. That it was sin that put Jesus on the cross. It was sin. Amen. Your sin. My sin. Amen. That put Jesus on the cross. Amen. He died a horrible death for you and I. Sin must be removed completely before an individual becomes righteous. The old life you and I once lived comes to an end when one is converted. Look at what he said in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And when we think of the old man, we think of the old teaching. Amen. How the old man did not really disappear until what they call a second work of grace. And I know there used to be many lined up on these altars. Amen. Trying to get the old man killed. Some that had lived for God. Amen. For multi-years. I know I was one of them on that altar. Amen. And I would imagine Sister Cummings was on that altar, some too. Ones that had lived, amen, for years. Amen. Brother Zimzak, on that altar, what? Wanting the old man to be crucified. When the ministry would come up to you to pray for you, to lay hands on you, this was the expression. What can I do for you? Well, I'm still having trouble with this and that. Well, then let's pray that the old man get killed. And they'd lay hands on you, and that was their expression. Kill the old man. Kill the old man. But look at what this scripture really says. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When do you stop serving sin? When you're saved. Not in the second work of grace, but in the initial work of grace. When you're saved, henceforth, that means from then on, you stop serving sin. Amen. It means no longer. Hereafter, no further, no more. The old life of sin is immediately brought to an end. The old man, otherwise the man you used to be, dies. Now, it's not just a mere suppressing of all evil desires or the suppressing of lust, but a complete cutting off. Amen. Deliverance, cleansing by divine power. We don't go into salvation, amen, say smoking cigarettes and then turn around and keep them in the dresser drawer in case we fail. It's a complete cutting off. Amen. You're not just a suppressing, a complete cutting off. Those who are saved have been liberated from their sins, and it's a grace of God that keeps them, amen, in the service of the Lord. God's people do not commit sin. Can they commit sin? Yes. But they do not practice sin. Now, I didn't say religious people, nor did I say hypocrites or those involved in religious works, but I said God's people do not commit sin. 1 John the 3rd chapter. Now, you got to remember, when this was written, John is off the Isle of Patmos. He's returned now to Ephesus. And by this particular time, amen, an apostasy is in full motion. Amen. So if you notice, I've told you this before, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are written in simplicity. I believe even a sinner could read that and get spiritual understanding. All right, let's look at what he says. First verse, behold what manner of love, amen, that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself. How? Even as he is pure. It even tells us how to purify ourselves. Whosoever committeth sin, amen, transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested or made known to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Church, let no man deceive you. Amen. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even what? As he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth, or missed the mark from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? Sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin as long as you follow that seed, because he's born of God. The apostasy, as I said, had begun to take root. And John reminds the church that Christians are separate from sinners. Now, 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 13, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Amen. Now our high priest was separate from sinners. Hebrews the 7th chapter, verse 26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Proverbs 1 and 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Christians have no desire to run around with sinners. The power of sin has been broken, and a sinner can go free. Amen. Not only go free, but free not to sin any longer. They do their best to stay away from sinful things. Do you know that if you commit sin, you know you have no excuse for it? Isn't that something? You have no excuse for committing sin. You have no excuse for not praying, not reading your Bible, not assembling together. What happened? What's happened to some that had to be reminded and reminded, reminded, get into services? Get in the services. I thank God that was one strength in our life. We might have other weaknesses, but that was a strength there. We always came to the house of God. Unless we were so sick, amen, you'd have to bring us in an ambulance. But I'm telling you, we always came to the house of God. And went away on vacation, couldn't wait to get back into the house of God. Might have had other failures in other lines, but that wasn't one of them. You know, to those that had to be reminded over and over, was there not a zeal to be there at the house of God at one time? Whatever you're doing when services are going on, you know, I always think of this. You want to make, whatever you might be doing when services are going on, you want to make sure it's going to stand at the judgment bar of Christ. What if Jesus would come while you was there? Hopefully you never miss services because you feel like you don't need to be in services like you once did. And also, have you prospered so much that you don't need God like you once did? Or could it truly be that you've let down on some things in your life and the devil has deceived you? Always keep in mind, church, we're going to have to talk to God someday in person. In all honesty, I wonder if people have cooled off, and if they had, would they truly admit it? You know, sometimes when people cool off, it's really hard for them to admit it. I want to read in the scriptures a very, very familiar scripture, but I want you to look at the words as we read it. And it's the age in which we're in, Revelation 3:14. Very familiar. But as you read it, you know, when I read these words, amen, I always try to look at my own life. And let's do that this morning. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm or neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. That word, spew thee out of my mouth, simply means vomit. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that's a long way from being increased with goods and have need of nothing. I counsel thee, buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke, chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. Politely, Jesus speaks or knocks on the heart of a soul, but the latch, we know, is on the inside. The power of sin has to be broken in the believer's walk. The Christian doesn't have to lie anymore. Now, some people have a real problem with lying. You need to be careful. Those old habits, those old quirks you had when you wasn't saved, you could have been in such a habit of it that you could go right on and do the same thing. You need to be careful. They don't have to cheat anymore. Don't have to curse. Don't have to use profanity of any kind. They don't even use slang words to fill in. You never use any of the names of God. You never say the word Jesus unless you're speaking about Jesus and the means of Christianity. But you never use the word Jesus, amen, as a slang word. You never use the word God and then put the word damn after it. Never, never. You would never want God to really damn something. And then these filler words that you can put in, where everybody knows what you really mean, but you just stress it up just a little bit. And I'm not going to go into some of them, because some of them are pretty self-explanatory. Your Christian just doesn't use them. God has cleaned up his tongue. Amen. The Christian doesn't have to lust after the opposite sex. They behave themselves. Christians behave themselves in the dating mode. Understandest thou me? Salvation removes the guilt, the sting, the stain, and the penalty of sin. There's no excuse for sinning a Christian. We can't blame it on our father or mother. We can't blame it on Adam. We can't blame it on the environment. We can't even blame it on the circumstances surrounding us. Why? Because there's abundance of grace. Amen. That comes with salvation. Why? So we can continue on living holy. The Christian cannot be alive to sin and to God at the same time. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 6 and 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The body of a dead person is dead to its surroundings. Cannot communicate. Cannot hear. Cannot make comment. And that's how Paul is using us, as being dead to sin. When the enemy of your soul comes around and whispers in your ear, you should listen like a dead person listens. Ones who are dead to sin have no desire to return to it. Those of you that are saved, do you ever think about going back and what you could do if you went back? The Christian has no desire to go back to Egypt again. Amen. Amen. They have no affection for it and they dislike it. To be saved, one must be dead to sin. They must be to the place where they're actually sick of it. Tired of sin. Tired, amen, of being corrected and chastised by God all the time. They're actually sick of it. Tired of the way sin had him bound or had him captive. I used to get so sick and tired of having to smoke a cigarette. I had a mommy, and I used to think that little piece of paper has got me bound. And that's exactly what it does. If you think about it, it's just a little piece of paper that you buy and put in your own mouth and light up. It doesn't have the power to jump in your mouth on its own. It takes you and I to do it. Tired of the way that sin deceived him. Tired of the way that sin embarrasses you. I can remember back doing some pretty embarrassing things when I was in sin. Why? At that time, I didn't care until I come to my senses and look back on it and think just how embarrassing it was. Sin will embarrass you. Tired of the way sin took him. Farther and farther away from right. You know, when I got away from God one time, when we was first saved, I made this statement. I'll never go back to the things I once did. No. I'll never go back to smoking. I'll never go back to this or drinking. I not only went back, I went back worse. I smoked more. I drank more. I gambled more. I did everything more. Amen. Why? Once you've tasted the good things of God, amen, there's nothing out in this world that's going to satisfy you to take that place. Amen. Sin can take a well-respected, it took a well-respected righteous king into adultery. It took a disciple through covetousness, turned him into a traitor. Sin took Samson, amen, and through lust caused him to disobey and become a slave, grinding in the prison house. Sin has capsized a lot of souls, but if we stay dead to sin, grace will abound in our soul. I'm afraid this morning that many do not see the evil that is in sin. All they see is the pleasure, the billboards of sin, the pleasure, the thrill, the excitement. Somebody said there's no pleasure in sin. I beg to differ with you. If there was no pleasure in sin, it wouldn't be tempting. Amen. The Bible lets us know, amen, Moses turned down what? The pleasures of sin. Or there's the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. We know that there's pleasure in sin. There's kind of a thrill into it, thinking of what you're going to do. You're going to go do this. You're going to do that. Amen. But we don't look at the end results. We always look at the pleasure. Amen. Now, they don't see the broken hearts. When I was in sin, I didn't see the broken hearts of my wife. I didn't see the broken hearts. I didn't see the mental anguish. I didn't see the destructive spirit or the bondage that lies behind to being disobedient. There's a blindness that's attached to sin. And one loses actual sense of judgment. We make poor judgments when we're in sin. Amen. They're no longer able to discern right from wrong. What did the prophet have to say about this condition? A familiar verse in Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Darkness for light." See, out here in the world, they think because, amen, lesbians now can get married, gays can get married, that's great light and understanding. We're really moving forward, but it's darkness. I wonder what God really thinks when he sees that going on. I know what he thought about Sodom and Gomorrah. That we do know. And it wasn't good thoughts. God sent deliverance to him. Couldn't even get 10 righteous people. And I wonder, right here in the United States, amen, where we do have a president, whether you like him or you don't, at least God is mentioned. And I'll guarantee you the devil's going to fight that. At least God is mentioned. At least there was prayer in the White House. The prophet said, "Woe unto them, those who pervert and confound things." We can actually abort babies today. And people can vote for people who abort babies. Don't think a thing of it. So what? I wonder what God thinks when he gives you understanding that thou shalt not commit murder, and you turn around and overstep that. Just a thought. But darkness for light. What's that symbolic of? Ignorance, error, false doctrine, and crime. Light is the opposite. What's it do? It denotes truth. It denotes knowledge. He said bitter for sweet, or has pleasure. While holiness is bitter, amen, with painful consequences. The old man dies when we're saved. That's when we walk in newness of life. I know exactly when I got turned around. I know exactly when I turned from sin. Amen. And it wasn't until I had to go to the altar, amen, the second trip. When I went the first time and left that altar, I was different. I was different. My wife was different. Our home was different. Everything about us was different. My job was even different. I even went to work. I didn't hide behind the union anymore. Amen. I didn't hide behind the union. I was a union steward. Amen. So I used most of my days I spent arguing the contract. But I didn't need the union to keep my job. When I took supervisor at Rockwell, I had a brother from a church come to me. This is what he said. Roger, he said, are you going to take supervisor? I said, I don't know yet. I'm praying about it. He said, well, you know, you won't have any union to back you up. I said to him, I said, the day I need a union to back me up when I'm a good worker, I said, something's wrong somewhere. And I never did need a union to back me up. I'm not throwing off on unions. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying I come to the place where I felt the company would be stupid to get rid of me if I was a good worker. And when I become a supervisor and I become a general supervisor, I didn't want to get rid of my good workers. I do everything I do to keep them employed. Yeah. Right. Amen. The old man dies. We become alive to his word, his holiness, his spirit, his fellowship, alive to his presence. A new life of righteousness begins immediately when the old man dies. We don't continue in sin any longer. Amen. We don't continue on in sin that grace may abound. Grace is not a robe to cover sin. A Christian is not a leper living on inside the camp. He's not a whited sepulcher like Jesus spoke of. He said in Matthew 23:27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. A Christian has quit the business of sinning every day. You know, I thought about that. There's ones that teach you sin every day. Well, in the Old Testament, at least you could last for a year before you had to have an atonement. But there's ones under Jesus Christ that can't even last a year. They have to go every day. So actually, they had it better under the Old Testament when it comes to the sin business as far as some of these religions are concerned. The Christian is a new man. He's been resurrected. He's been cleansed. He's been made whole. He lives soberly, righteously, amen, godly, right here in this present world, right in the shops, right while he's, amen, shopping, right while he's driving down the highway. He don't go into road rage. Amen. Right while he's amongst his friends. Right while he's on vacation. He actually still is like a Christian. He don't have a wardrobe for vacation and a wardrobe for church. Same wardrobe. Amen. He's a new man, resurrected. They give up the old non-spiritual crowd. You know what they do? They dress right. A child of God does not want to dress in such a way as to make someone think they're lukewarm or not a Christian. You know, and I get to thinking on things. You know, those that have trouble dressing right, you must know it's right because you keep coming back to it. Now, what you should do is either stick with it right or just take the flag down. Quit battling it all the time. Quit fighting it all the time. Take the flag down, dress the way you want to dress. Amen. And if you think it's right, then dress right all the time. And if you don't think it's right, dress wrong all the time. Don't be up one day, down the next day. Up one week, down the next week. In the choir one week, out of the choir the next week. Do it right. If you think dressing right is right, then dress right. If you're not sure, stay away from righteousness until you are sure. But don't be up and down. Don't, amen, dress the standard one week. The next week, here you come. Here you come again. Skirts riding up. Skirts too tight. Why? People lose confidence in you. You want people to have confidence in you, dress right. Don't advertise. Don't advertise wrong. You see, when you dress wrong, you're advertising you're wrong. Amen. When ones are saved, they want to take an active part in the work of God, depending on what the Lord would have them to do. I know when I got saved, we worked on this building right here. This was finished in 1968. But I wanted to come out here and work all that I could. I worked at Rockwell 3 to 11, but I could come out here in the mornings and work. So I did. I come out here. In fact, I used to run in the shovel game with Brother Frank Dump. We used to be pretty good pals. We used to work together. But you enjoy being around the people of God. You enjoy getting involved in things. I'm closing. Here's the question, and you need to be honest, church. Are you continuing in sin over top of the grace of God? Is there things wrong in your life right now? I'm not talking about struggling over things. Somebody said, well, you struggle. Well, I'd rather have strugglers. If we got on people all the time and kicked people out for struggling, we probably wouldn't have a choir. There's things that people struggle over and desire to do better in continually. Maybe their personality, maybe their kindness, and maybe things like that. They're not out here committing sin, but they're wanting to improve, amen, in their relationship with God. And if there's ones here that are struggling, say you're struggling with tobacco, don't quit coming to the house of God. Don't let the devil tell you that you might as well quit. Don't ever quit. Stay right with it. Why? Because you stay right with it and you keep putting forth that effort, you're going to get victory. Grace is going to abound, and you get victory. Keep putting forth the effort, amen, to overcome. There's going to be things, especially if you're just converted, there's going to be things that you're probably not going to understand, and you're not going to see why you need to do it. But keep coming. Keep coming. God will eventually work with you, get you to the place. There were things I didn't see. Somebody said, what were they? I'll just tell you one of them. I'll just tell you one thing I didn't see. We were saved, and I heard Brother Wilson get up, and he nailed Billy Graham. We're driving home. Now, I know my wife had put her, at that time, we had television before we were saved. My wife put her hand on the television when Billy Graham prayed. You put your hand on the television, you can get saved under Billy Graham. So we thought he was a pretty good fella. So we're driving home, and I says to Roxanne, you know, I don't know about this Billy Graham business. I said, boy, he seems like he's such a good man. Yeah. But we kept coming. Next thing you know, as I got deeper into doctrine and understood the messages that was coming forth, then I understood. But I just didn't throw up my hands because he nailed Billy Graham and quit. You're going to hear things you might not understand over the pulpit, but keep coming. God will reveal light and understanding to you on some things. I have a real, real problem with Babylon. And I believe God does too. And I don't understand how people can pet it. Maybe you can go to these singspirations and get right in a mix with the mix. I don't know. I can't. I like good Christian music, but I don't like mixing with all these different religions. Amen. And they're all on their feet when they don't even teach holiness. So you know what? You know it's not really the Spirit of God. It's emotion. Continuing in sin, Paul said. What's that tell you? Paul had to deal with it back there under the Judaizers, the law keepers that believed the grace of God. See, they didn't live free from sin under the old law, so they believed the grace of God would cover them if they continued right on in sin. And grace could abound. But when grace abounds, sin is stopped. Question. If you're here, God knows your hearts. And if you've got sin in your life, you're going to have to get rid of it someday. Don't wait till on your deathbed to do it. You want to do it while you got the free use of your mind. And God speaking to your heart. While the church prays, let us stand.